From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. We are so excited to have you here on the Saturday before Veterans Day, and we want to give a shout-out to all of America's veterans out there and wish you well. And don't forget to take advantage of all those discounts that are going to be coming up on Monday. Finally, you're going to be getting something back for your service to the country, and we're very excited for you on that. We have a lot of events that we need to talk to, and I want to give you a little update on what's going on the program today. We're going to be talking with three military brats, and I use that as a term of endearment. I was told that is a term of endearment, so we were trying to get a little bit sophisticated earlier on and try to figure out what the acronym BRAT stood for, but there wasn't anything there. So anyway, we're going to be talking with Mary Lawler, who is the author of a book entitled Fighter Pilot's Daughter during the Cold War, and she's going to be on to talk about her book. Her dad was in the Marines and in the Army and was in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, so she grew up in that era. We've got a Colonel Cook is on, and Christine Cook was in the military herself for 20-some-odd years. Her dad was a colonel in the Army, so she's lived all over the country and parts of the world. And also we've got a young lady who's a Navy brat, and that is Manette Perigard, and she's going to be talking about being a Navy brat in more recent time period. So I'm excited. If you're a military brat out there and you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call later on at 877-573-7825. Whew. We've got a lot of stuff to go on with, so Bob, if you're out there, I know you've got a couple of events that you want to tell our audience about, so good morning, Robert.
Yes, thank you, Dale. There's really nothing proper for Dale, is there? It's Dale, right?
There's a Mr. Dale.
Oh, okay, yes, that's right. Dale, thank you very much. This is a very, very exciting month to be in, November, the Veterans Month, and so many things have been coming to our attention. Nina?
Oh.
Yeah, we just had to have that. For all these exciting announcements, Dale's going to have a few, and I have one right here from the Celine. New Horizons Band will be at the Ypsilanti Community Celine Middle School on Maple Road in Ann Arbor, Sunday, November 10th. That is tomorrow, 4 o'clock. You want to get more information, you're going to want to connect with the Celine School System and get all that information on the event that's going to be happening on November 10th. Now, I really have something exciting here. A couple of weeks back, I had the opportunity to be in Royal Oak, Michigan, and shopping at a wonderful store, Orvis. I'm sure we've all heard of Orvis. And I was shopping there. In fact, I'm wearing one of the garments that I purchased with me. And in talking with the manager, Rich, he said, you know what, I bet you I can talk to corporate folks and just maybe we can extend that. Well, sure enough. So here it is, folks, beginning actually yesterday. We just got the flyer yesterday, beginning yesterday and going through Veterans Day 2013. If you show your military ID at an Orvis store, there will be a 25% saving on any full price purchase of $50 or more. So that's going to be valid today, tomorrow, and Monday at an Orvis store. This does not include the internet. So this is you got to come in there, and the best way is to go to Orvis.com and find out where the nearest Orvis retail outlet is. But I think that's really exciting. I mean, Dale, here we are. We started something 3 weeks ago and got this thing. That's very exciting. So once again, the Orvis folks are offering a military discount both today, tomorrow, and Monday, $25 for any full-price purchase of $50 or more.
Pretty cool, and they have nice
clothes,
too.
Isn't that way cool? And we did that. Good. No, we did. We pulled that
off.
Well,
we found it.
And the manager, Rick. Yeah, Rich, there we go. I'll get that right. Take it over.
Okay. Obviously, there's lots of events going on this weekend and on Monday, so just check your local paper. I'm sure you're going to be able to find a parade or a dinner or free meals. A lot of restaurants are giving out free meals for veterans on Monday especially. I know there's a lot of places. We could eat really well finally on Monday. So we want to make sure that everybody is aware of that. And there are many other events going on. In fact, we've got a big, big event going on here locally at Concordia College. And hold on just a second here. We're bringing on Robert McCormick from Concordia University here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Welcome to Veterans Radio, Robert.
Thank you, Dale. A pleasure to be with you this morning.
Well, I was driving down the Geddes Road the other day in the local area, and I came upon this row after row after row of amazing blue stars, and it just seemed to go on for about a mile. And then I suddenly realized I'm on the campus of Concordia. So can you tell me what's going on there on Monday?
Yes, absolutely. We are looking forward to have the veterans to attend our sixth annual Veterans Day celebration at Concordia University. It's located at 4090 Geddes Road. And we are so pleased to invite veterans at 9:45 is the time we'll start on Monday. And there'll be special parking for them. We'll have a welcome in our Cardinal's Nest, followed by a chapel service. And we'll have the University of Michigan ROTC Color Guard joining us to present the colors at 11 o'clock. We have a lunch for veterans, and right after the lunch, I'll be presenting a lunch and learn presentation on leadership from the Battle of Gettysburg. If those are familiar who have read the book, The Killer Angels by Michael Shara, it's a great opportunity to learn about military decisiveness and action and loyalty and those concepts we come to associate with our outstanding veterans.
Well, it's always a great honor even to go over to Concordia on Veterans Day, because I've been there a couple of times myself. Unfortunately, I guess with the sequestration, you're probably not going to have a helicopter land in the middle of your campus this time.
That's true. We do have a Civil War reenactor who will be in uniform, and we will have a cannon discussion about artillery during that time frame. And so we've had a number of friends that come back year after year.
Well, it's a great opportunity in the Ann Arbor area to honor the veterans that are here, and I know it's usually get a pretty good turnout.
We sure do, and you know the thing that is important for me is that obviously and certainly we value the service of our veterans, but I want the veterans to have an opportunity to network and to share their story with our students, so that our students can learn something about our great country.
Well, it is cool, because I can remember when I went over there one time. And by the way, if you have difficulty getting around, these students will show up in like a golf cart, and they'll take you wherever you need to go. So don't fear that you won't be able to get around. So
that's exactly right. We have wonderful students who are well-versed in serving others.
That's right. Bob, you had something?
Yes. Bob, this is Bob Gould. Are you going to have that? Another one of those cool helicopters that you had last year, man, that shook the ground. And
it sure did, didn't it?
That blew half the trees off for about 5 acres. What was that, a Chinook? Or?
Yeah, one year we had actually two helicopters. We had a Chinook from the Army, and we had a helicopter from the Coast Guard. So it was just an awesome experience. And each year we try to do something differently. We've done seminars on a number of topics, including psychology and brain injury and so forth. And this year, I'm going to take it back into history a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll be there.
I hope so.
Wonderful. We look forward to you. seeing you there.
You'll recognize him. I won't go into that. Anyway, that's Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You just go to their website. That's cuaa.edu. And
right.
You find out all that information. And Robert McCormick, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio, and I hope to get over there on Monday also.
Well, we appreciate the time, and God bless veterans.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much. As Robert McCormick of Concordia University, and they're putting on their Veterans Day celebration Monday, November 11th, here in the local area. It begins at 9:45. They're out on Geddes Road in Ann Arbor. On the line, I've got another guest that I want to talk to, and this is something that was really kind of fascinating to me. I don't know what happened to our public relations. I guess our public relations department finally got on the stick. But in the last couple of weeks, we've been starting to get a lot of great opportunities to talk to people about programs for veterans. And joining me on the line right now is going to be Jessica Clancy. And Jessica is with NBC Universal. Am I correct, Jessica?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay. And you have teamed up with the United States Chamber of Commerce to put together a program for veterans. Opportunities and training. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. NBC Universal has worked with the Chamber Commerce Foundation for the last few years. As you may know, we have a veteran hiring commitment at NBC Universal and Comcast, which we just recently announced that we surpassed.
And what was your goal on that one?
It was 2,000 veterans by 2015, and we announced the other day that we already surpassed that goal.
Wow, great. Thank you. Congratulations.
Yes, so that is a great commitment that we have. And in addition to that, we wanted to do something tangible. So we have partnered with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation to launch a web portal that we're calling Next Steps for Vets. So it's going to feature all the tools and resources, the best ones in the marketplace that are out there, as well as some unique ones that NBC Universal has built to really help transitioning service members as well as military spouses with employment and education opportunities. So the portal is going to be hosted on NBCNews.com, and we hope that it gives veterans the opportunity to really narrow in on the tools and resources that will help them make that transition back into civilian lifestyle.
I was reading through your release here, and you're going to have a resume engineer that will help people to translate their military experience into the strengths for that civilians can understand. You have a GI Bill calculator, how many benefits or how much your benefits are going to be, a job finder tool, a 12-step guide to starting a small business run through Syracuse University, job fair maps, mentor leadership programs. Holy moly, this is great stuff.
Yeah, so all of these are different sort of best-in-class resources, some already existing and on the built by the U.S. Chambers or in partnership with the U.S. Chambers, and some that are new to the marketplace, but all ones that we found are really helpful in helping the transition, and especially with the resume engine, the GI Bill calculator, two points that we hear a lot in terms of veterans really being able to translate that experience into tangible. Into tangible experience that, human resources professionals can understand. And then the GI Bill calculator is something new that we built we know that it's really hard to navigate and understand the process of what you're eligible for, what paperwork you need to bring, And so we broke that down, and really it's a step-by-step guide of questions, as well as a really, easy user experience that allows folks to get all that information they need right up to the point where they're about to apply for their benefits.
Wow. And so where do we go again to get all this great information?
Sure. So the website is veterans.nbcnews.com.
Okay. And we've been talking here with Jessica Clancy. And what is your involvement with the program, Jessica?
So I am part of our social responsibility team at NBC Universal, and we worked in partnership with all of our different brands and divisions at NBC Universal and Comcast to help build this website.
Have you talked to the president about putting together something for the Affordable Care Act? It seems like you've got your act together. I'm just joking. Anyway, thank you very much, Jessica. This is Jessica Clancy with NBC Universal. For all this information, just go to veterans.nbcnews.com. And, boy, we were talking earlier, and veterans out there, if you can't find a job now, these people are doing everything they can for you. So get on these websites, contact them, get the help that you need, and we want to see everybody get back to work, not just the veterans, but this is a great way to do it. Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Jessica. We'll talk to you again.
All right, buddy.
All right. Woo. Well, Robert, are you still in there?
Yes, sir.
I got another one here. I told you, we've been getting some great emails.
Oh, these are great.
I'm sorry that we weren't able to get a hold of Jack Grisey, but he's with the SCORE, which is...
I thought that was a dating service, but I found out that soon.
Yeah, you wish. anyhow... There's a SCORE is an organization that works with people to provide jobs, and they're putting on a program in Tampa, actually, or St. Petersburg, it looks like. There's an expo, a Veteran Startup Business Resource Expo, tomorrow, Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 5:30. It's at the Hilton Carillon on Carolyn Drive in St. Petersburg, Florida, from 10 to 5:30. This is open to all veterans. They've got businessmen there to help you, again, just like Jessica was talking about, to help you with your resumes. Bring your resumes if you've already got it. There's going to be companies there looking for employees, and you're going to be able to hand out all these things to them. Again, this is a Veteran Startup Business Resource Expo at the Hilton Carolyn on Lake Carolyn Drive, St. Petersburg, Florida, from 10 to 5:30. You can find out more information at www.pinellascounty.score.org. PinellasCounty.score.org. Our goal is that all veterans, especially those in the region, be aware of this free event. Self-sufficiency through self-employment can positively help veterans achieve their goals for income, lifestyle, and wealth. And as we know, even though we are all good team players, when we get back into civilian life, sometimes we have difficulty working with civilians. So yeah, you got one more thing, Bob?
Oh, no, I'm just excited about the whole surge in the country behind veterans and jobs. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And you can think about the Jack Roush car that raced November 3rd. I think it came in eighth or ninth. Hire the Heroes. So there's so much activity going on. It's just so enlightening to feel that. And all the corporations out there, if you do have something for the veteran in your hiring policies, please get with us. Go to veteransradio.net for all the contact information. Isn't that right? I mean, that would be cool. The more
we can help out, and maybe we can, since we are so technologically expert, our expertise is so amazing that maybe we could put up our own little job board at some point, and people could look.
That's a great
idea. For where all these jobs are. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that we can do. It's the least we can do.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
For these men. And actually, during today's program. And women, I'm sorry, I forgot. I got two women in the studio with me right now. And
careful.
I just got a dope slap, and ow, you know?
That was me in the score remark. I got the same look.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. They're wrestling us to the ground. There's going to be a revolt. All the women who we've got. I have to let you know, we have two women in the control room. We have two women in the studio right now, along with these old guys. And I'm going to get this message right out of the way. Maria Ragu, our dear social manager, is getting married tonight, and we want to wish her and Nico congratulations and just a big, giant group hug for both of them.
Absolutely.
We're excited for both of you. And she's talking in the background, but I can't hear her.
Yeah, she's a little shy, and I can't blame her. Right?
I know that.
I'm giving her advice.
Oh.
Three marriages.
Oh, yeah.
I'm giving her advice.
Yeah, you're the advice.
Score.
Don't listen to him, please. Please. He'll tell you what not to do.
Amen.
There you go.
No, really, though. I mean, I think that's beautiful. Yeah, romance is great. And it all started when she became an intern here at Veterans Radio.
Well, I wish we could say that, but I think she brought her fiancé with her in her suitcase from Argentina.
Yes.
This is somebody this is somebody. I know we're getting way off on a tangent. I apologize to our audience out there. If you want somebody who's an immigrant coming to America that can help America, these two are the ones that can do it. So we got to figure out a way that we can get the talented immigrants into America and get them to stay here.
Amen.
So enough of my politician right on that right now. Segue. Here we go. Segue actually into the real program is I received this an email from one of our contributors, and it said, "Boy, Dale, you got to read this book. It's called Fighter Pilot's Daughter." And the rest of it is growing up in the 60s in the Cold War. And I went, well, I grew up in the 60s in the Cold War. I know something about this. And so I said, yeah, get me the book. So I read the book, and it's written by Mary Lawlor. It's Lawlor. And it turned out to be a really fascinating story. And I'm not going to give you all the details. It just could say that Mary and I are probably similar in age, and I won't give you that. But we grew up in similar situations. She was stationed down at Fort Rucker, Alabama for a while, and that's where I went through flight training and stuff. So we bonded on that. Then I find out she lives in eastern Pennsylvania, about 30 miles from where I grew up and our other guests. And it turns out that she's also went through a period in her life where she was a little bit of a rebel, it sounded like. So I'm going to bring her right on the program right now. That's Mary Lawlor. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me, Dale.
Well, I'm excited to talk about this book. And also joining me in the studio, I'm going to go back and say, Mary, how long was your dad in the service overall?
Oh, gosh, I think it was about 30 years overall. Yeah, maybe 35.
Okay, so we've got 35 years with you. Colonel Christine Cook is joining us. Her dad was in the service for 26 years, and Manette's dad was in the Navy for 20 years. So I can't add up those things in my head. It's too much to advance math. But that's a lot of time to be in the service. So anyway, after I was reading the book, I decided that this is kind of a cool story. And I know some other people who were military brats, and so I kind of combined all three of them here. So I'm going to introduce each of you to each other. And so Mary Lawler, 36 years. I want you to meet Colonel Christine Cook, United States Army Reserves, correct?
Reserves, yeah.
And so Christine, hey, you know Mary?
Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
And Christine also went to Princeton and has been to Carlisle, Pennsylvania quite often. Mary is a professor at Muhlenberg College. I should point that out to people.
And my mom lives in Mechanicsburg, which is only about 30 miles away.
There you go.
All right.
See,
yeah.
Oh, you okay. Pennsylvania Keystone State stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Also joining me in the studio is Manette Perigard. And Manette is a Navy brat. And welcome to Veterans Radio. Say hello.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Manette.
So we're going to kind of be going back and forth here, but Mary, I'm going to be talking mostly about your story initially, and then we're going to bring the other two women in here to talk about their experiences of growing up in the military, okay?
Okay.
So tell me why you wrote this story to begin with.
Well, so many of the experiences of growing up in a Marine Corps and in an Army family during the Cold War years stayed with me through the decades. Stories of the work that my father did in Korea and in Vietnam, and then our own differences that we had during the late 60s, and then coming back together again late in his life and getting to be very close. These were all extremely meaningful experiences for me, and I've been wanting to write about them for many, many years. And then at Muhlenberg College, I would say about 7 or 8 years ago, I cooked up a new course on literature and film of the Cold War and started teaching that. And in the process, I, you know, took the risk of talking about some of my own stories, something that anybody who's in college classrooms, who teaches in college, will know is a little risky to do. Students don't necessarily want to hear stories about you. But anyway, I took the risk of telling a few anecdotes of my own life growing up in the Cold War. And it seemed, I was convinced, that they were actually interested, and they were listening, and they asked a lot of questions. about the Kennedys, about, you know, duck and cover and all of these things. And so I finally decided at a certain point about 4 years ago that I would sit down and start writing some of this up. And so eventually it emerged as Fighter Pilot's Daughter, growing up in the 60s and the Cold War. It just came out in September.
Well, it certainly is an interesting story, and as I said, I could relate to a lot of it since we grew up at the, you know, during the same time period. I'm going to warn Nina that we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to come back and get into you telling the story of your dad, going through the Marines and his experiences of transferring to the Army, which is unheard of probably today, but probably a little bit more common at that point. So if you can kind of hang on, we're talking with Mary Lawler, author of Fighter Pilot's Daughter, and we're going to be coming back and talking about being a military brat and getting to travel all over the country and all the good things, and then probably some of the not-so-good things. So, Nina, we ready? Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
You're listening to Veterans Radio Live on WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, and online at AveMaria.net.
Quietly you've all turned gray. You did your job, you saved our way. Our lives of freedom you preserved. We thanked you less than you deserved. You never boasted, bragged, or asked for adulation for your past. You sacrificed your youth to war. We owe you more, we owe you more. Thank you for your wondrous feats, for open speech and quiet streets, for worship as we choose to pray, for preservation of our way.
That was Before You Go, and that was sent to us by Jack Melnick, and Jack is from Florida. And so we encourage you all to send us your original music if you'd like. We're going to try and incorporate them into the program as part of our bump music to at least let people hear with that. That's Before You Go by Jack Melnick. We're back on Veterans Radio. We're talking with Mary Lawler, Colonel Christine Cook, Renee Perigard, easy for me to say, and talking about being military brats. But Mary, tell us a little bit about the background of your dad's military service.
In World War II, in 1942, he went to the Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point on Long Island. And from there, he went to flight school with the Navy and went to sea and just got to World War II at the end, coming into Okinawa when things were just about finishing up. Anyway, he got out of the service then, was called back during the Korean War, like many people were, and served there for a couple of years and won the Distinguished Flying Cross for service he did there. And after he got out of the Korean War, it wasn't long before he decided that he wanted to stay in the service. So he remained in the Marine Corps. We moved to Miami, and he was flying helicopters at Marine Corps Air Station in Miami. And that went on until about 1956, when through budgetary constraints in the Marine Corps, there was a reduction in forces, basically, and it seemed as if the Marine Corps wasn't going to be able to keep as many of its field grade officers on as it had. So he still had to request to be detached from the Marines, so that went through, and he requested service in the Army. So the Army took him and about, I think it was about 40 other helicopter pilots who were working in Miami and a couple of other places at the time, who were taken into the Army at Fort Rucker, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Now, my father was assigned to continue his rank as major, which he'd had in the Marine Corps, in the U.S. Army Reserves, but to serve concurrently as a warrant officer. And so were many of these other helicopter pilots who were sort of in the same school as him. Anyway, they all went to Fort Rucker, and they were going to be teaching people how to fly. And there were some complications there having to do with this rank, and he ended up being made a warrant officer for the rest of his career. But that was how the Army managed to accommodate all of these helicopter instructor pilots that they needed to come into the service, because, of course, the helicopter was, ever since the Korean War, becoming a hugely important vehicle in warfare. So they needed all of these instructor pilots and couldn't necessarily keep them all in their field grade ranks. So there were some complications there during that episode, but it all settled out, and he continued to fly helicopters and to be an instructor pilot and to go through the warrant officer ranks. And we continued moving for the next many years until he finally retired in 1978.
How many times do you think you moved?
Oh, gosh. I know I went to 14 different schools by the time I graduated from high school. So that was, you know, at least 14 moves, but it could have been more.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're talking.
A lot. And actually, sorry.
No, that's okay. I was going to say, we're talking with Mary Lawler, and if you'd like to get on a conversation out there, give us a call here at Veterans Radio. It's 877-573-7825. And I just want to bring in our studio guests here to talk a little bit. You talked about moving at least 14 times and probably more. So I'm going to ask Christine Cook, Colonel Christine Cook, when were your dad in the service?
My dad was in the service. He graduated from West Point in 1951, and he retired in 1977. So some of the time period that my dad was in was at the same time that Mary's was. My mom says that they moved 26 times in those 26 years.
Wow.
Sometimes, like once I came on board, it was more like, it felt like once every 4 years, but when we were in Hawaii, for example, we had four different homes. Mm-hmm. So that was four different moves, really.
Okay. And Manette, your dad was in the Navy.
Right.
For how many years?
For 20 years.
All right. And how many moves do you remember making?
Five or six.
Five or six.
Oh,
you're just a short timer.
Yeah.
But you also, you mentioned earlier when we were talking that because of many of these moves, your mom decided that she was going to homeschool you. Because you're one of how many?
I'm one of nine now. So.
Right. So that was probably ended up being easier for them. As you had mentioned earlier about the idea of that just the constant turnover of schools was.
Right.
So so Mary, you turned out not to be as many travelers as I thought. But where were some of the places that you were stationed? And I mean, your dad was stationed.
We were in California. We were in, as I said, Miami and Alabama. And we lived in Germany for many years. We were in Stuttgart, and then we were in Heidelberg. And then, let's see, my parents kept moving. They were in Burtonwood, England, and they were in Fort Devens, Massachusetts. That's about the range of it. But there were lots of moves within those places, as Christine was saying about moving four times in Hawaii. I mean, that was very common for us, especially in, I think we must have lived in five or six places when we were in Alabama.
I like that section because I think I lived in all those towns myself. But when you were, tell me a little bit about the advantages. I'm going to ask all three of you the advantages of being the child of a military person. So, Mary, I'll start with you.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was, of course, very exciting to get to move to all of these places in addition to all of the, you know, the feeling of not belonging and the feeling of being a stranger everywhere. It gave us a chance to see and actually feel, not exactly know, these places that otherwise would have been out of reach for us. Even the Deep South and the exotic, you know, nature of the countryside there and the way that people spoke, all of that was just fascinating. And, of course, the adventures of living in Europe were endless. California was so beautiful, and, you know, we never would have been able to get there if my father had remained a civilian. And he used to work for National Pass Register and for Purina Feed before he went into the service. So, you
got
know,
to
we
see a lot of Iowa.
Yeah. It would have been upstate New York, which is, you know, probably similar. Yeah.
My goodness. So,
yeah, so the adventure was really something. It was a lot of fun to be in these new places and to learn about different people and different ways of living, different cultures and all of that.
Okay. Christine?
Well, actually, I can think of about three things that were definitely advantages. One is that I think that you build a sense of resiliency, being able to adapt to new situations all the time, and you're a little more adept at change. Number two is that while it seems that you're always a stranger and you've always been moving, one thing that you find out after a while is that it's actually a very small military group of people. So almost every post you're at, you're going to know at least two or three other families because you've been with them at a different post.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened constantly, especially in the later years. And third is that any military brat is going to be a fairly independent person who can support themselves and stand on their own two feet and are not very dependent of other people.
Okay. Renee?
Yeah, I agree with both of them. It does make you more independent, and, again, you're used to moving around a lot, so it's like up and go. You're like, cool, let's go, you know. Whereas then also it's so great, like you get the best field trips, you know. You get to see so much, so many places where like history happened and everything, and then like in Hawaii and everything, you get to see different places that you know that other kids don't get. But yeah,
we were talking about housing earlier on. And Mary, you mentioned that when you were in Germany in the book, and we're talking with Mary Lawler, I have to continue to plug this, I know that, it's a fighter pilot's daughter growing up in the 60s in the Cold War, that you got to live in a castle.
Well, we didn't actually live in a castle. Are you talking about Heidelberg?
Like well, one of those, it sounded like you lived in a building that was built in about 1200.
Okay. Yeah. One of the villages where we lived what dated back to that to the 1200s. In Heidelberg, the beautiful Heidelberg Castle, which sits on the side of a hill overlooking the old city along the Neckar River. This castle was the site of our prom and our graduation from Heidelberg American High School.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends and I used to spend a lot of time there because it was, of course, open to the public. It was like a national park. And you could go there and wander around through the ruins. And we used to, you know, when we were sort of playing around, fooling around on the weekends and stuff, we used to go up there and run around on the lawns running down from the castle. So in a sense, we had it at our disposal, but we didn't actually live in it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I like my embellishment better.
Yeah, I like your story better, too. I think I'll keep that fantasy in mind.
Yes, I lived in a castle. We've got about a minute to go with our break. What would you say, Mary, I'll go with you first. What was a favorite place that you lived that you can at the top of your head?
Oh, gee. I think, yeah, with my father's my favorite posting that my father had would have been Heidelberg. Yeah, it was a beautiful city. It was fascinating. It had such an ancient history. That was my very favorite, yeah.
Okay. Christine?
Hands down, Schofield Barracks, Hawaii.
Hawaii. Minette?
I loved Hawaii, but then you get to miss the seasons. So also, I really enjoyed Maine.
You were in Maine, too.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You guys are so lucky. No, I say lucky now. And when we come back around on the other side, we're going to take another break here real quickly. And we're going to talk about some of the downsides of being a military brat. And I want to kind of, Mary, I'm going to ask you to give us a little brief history when we get back of why being in Germany was so important, and what the big fear was. Why was everybody so nervous during the Cold War? So we're going to come back. If you've got a question, you can give us a call here at 877-573-7825. You can find us on Twitter, Veterans Radio there, or you can find us at Facebook, Veterans Radio, and just get in contact with us, and we will answer your question as best we can. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Veterans Radio from our flagship station, WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, and you can find us online at AveMariaRadio.net.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
PFC Alfred Wilson threw himself on a grenade, knowing full well the result of his actions. Details after this.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
While returning from a reconnaissance in-force mission in the vicinity of Fire Support Base Cunningham in Quang Tri Province, the 1st Platoon of Company M came under intense automatic weapons fire and a grenade attack from a well-concealed enemy force. As the center of the column was pinned down, the leading squad moved to outflank the enemy. Wilson, acting as squad leader of the rear squad, skillfully maneuvered his men to form a base of fire and act as a blocking force. In the ensuing firefight, both his machine gunner and assistant machine gunner were seriously wounded and unable to operate their weapons. Realizing the urgent need to bring the weapon into operation again, Wilson, followed by another Marine and with complete disregard for his safety, fearlessly dashed across the fire-swept terrain to recover the weapon. As they reached the machine gun, an enemy soldier stepped from behind a tree and threw a grenade toward the two Marines. Observing the grenade fall between himself and the other Marine, fully realizing the inevitable result of his actions, shouted to his companion and unhesitatingly threw himself on the grenade, absorbing the full force of the explosion with his own body and ultimately dying.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
But she can't understand why I must go. But one day she'll see, and she will know. The tears are flowing down my face as the baby starts to cry. Without knowing why I'm going, she kisses me goodbye. As she stands there in her little shoes with tears in her eyes, I give her one last hug goodbye as my comeback.
And that was from Mary Lee, and the title of her song is Little Shoes, and that's, again, that was sent to us. So if you got music out there and you want us to play it, just send it along to us here at Veterans Radio. You can go to our website, veteransradio.net, click on Contact Us, and you'll find out hopefully what we can do with your song. We'd like to play as many as we can, and maybe later on in the spring we're going to do one of our Troubadour shows where we will play a lot of music from all veteran music. We're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with Mary Lawler, who is the author of the book Fighter Pilot's Daughter, Growing Up in the 60s and the Cold War. And in the studio, we've got Colonel Christine Cook and Manette Perigard, also military brats. And we're talking about some of the great advantages, which we just finished learning their favorite places. They got to travel parts of the world that most of us don't have the opportunity to do. So, Mary, I'm going to ask you, what did you see as the disadvantages of being a military brat?
Well, first of all that moving that we just talked about, it really left me, and I think my sister to some degree too, with a sense of really not belonging anywhere and really being strangers in many places where we lived. My parents very often found themselves in situations where there weren't base schools, or rather post schools, and where they could, they would put us in Catholic schools. So we were often not with other military kids, so that meant walking into rooms full of complete strangers, people who had known each other since they were tiny kids or, you know, kindergarten, but they didn't know us, and we certainly didn't know them. So that was a kind of disorienting experience that continued, and we never really got used to it, although it did indeed, as Minette and Christine both said, teach us a certain kind of sturdiness, a certain, you know, sense of, okay, here's a room full of strangers. Stand up, smile, go up and talk to them. And so that built a certain kind of social strength in us, and a certain sort of independence, too, as both Christine and Minette said. But, yeah, that was the biggest drawback from my experience of being in an Army family. But there were other things having to do with the fact of the Cold War that complicated things further. But I don't know if you wanted to get to that yet.
I'll get to that in just a moment. That's a major part of your book and of our story from that decade. Christine, do you see any downsides to it?
Well, you know, to a certain extent, I look at my military brat years as being kind of the Gilded Age. So the majority of it was very positive. I think I agree with the isolation being an issue, something that I carry to this day. And the other thing is that when my father went to war, that was a particularly difficult time because we just didn't know if he was going to make it back or not.
Mm-hmm. And Minette, you were talking about your dad was a submariner.
Right.
And he would go off on these voyages periodically, and the same scenario, you didn't know where he was, and so that would make you nervous?
Yeah, it always made you nervous. You never knew when he was leaving, when he was coming back, if he was coming back, where he was going, and so you missed him so much, and were so excited when he came back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that one of the disadvantages is just missing your dad all the time and trying to grow up without him sometimes. Mm-hmm. And also, again, being taken out of school because you go from school to school. And so you're never able to be, like, constant with one class. You're always jumping in to somebody else's, you know, class. Oh, we're already in the middle of this, mm-hmm. or whatever. So, yeah.
So you never, none of you, it sounds like, really ever got the opportunity to be heavily involved in school activities as far as, you know, I'm not going to say it because it sounds sexist. I got to be careful because they hurt me here.
But then that was because my father retired when I was 13. So after that, I definitely got involved in school activities.
But I know that, Mary, you went to college when your dad was still in the service.
Right, exactly.
And I think, I guess I should preface this. We've got about 10 minutes, so I think we can get a lot of this in there. You went to college during the 60s, and your dad was stationed in Germany at the time, and you didn't come to college back here in the States like your sisters did. You went to college in Paris.
Right.
And kind of a revolutionary experience, wasn't it?
Yes, it certainly was. It's interesting because my parents... and, you know, they consulted with me, about where I wanted to go to college, and we thought about where my grandmother had gone in New Jersey, St. Elizabeth, and a few other places in the States. But they were very worried that because all of the demonstrating that was going on and, you know, the emergence of SDS and all of the other organizations that were really cooking up a lot of drama on American college and university campuses all over the country, they wanted actually to, avoid that for me. They didn't want to see me get anywhere near it. So we decided that the best thing would be for me to go to the American College in Paris, which is, you know, a very ironic decision to have made because, of course, in May of 1968, the most, you know, dramatic demonstrations in the world took place in Paris, and I was there right in the middle of it. So it was, you know, a very dramatic change for me, too, to be part of that. People that I was living with at the American College, and they didn't have dormitories, and my roommates and I actually had our own apartment in the city, which was extraordinary. I had never had such independence before in my life. Anyway, we got to be friends with some of the American draft resisters who came to Paris from Madison, Wisconsin, and formed a draft resisters union in 1968. They were trying to avoid having to go to Vietnam, which, you know, as everybody knows, was a war that was very, you know, disputed here in the States. And so I got to know these people and came to be actually friends with them. And meanwhile, my father was in Saigon. So anyway, this is all narrated in my book. It was a very difficult time for the both of us, for my father and I. We did see each other that year, and we had a hard time, but we managed to later, decades later, find our way back to each other. For that, I'm very, very grateful. But those were my really dramatic, wild years in Paris. And,
well, I think we can all relate. I mean, I can't imagine when we go through our teenage rebellious years anyway. And in most cases, I would think that your father's, all three of you, were probably a little bit more conservative than the regular civilian dads were. So it must have been when you started trying to push that envelope. How did it go with you, Christine?
Well, I was telling her earlier that people like Mary would have been my babysitters, and I know that my parents were really scared because a lot of them were doing drugs. A lot of them, you know, the older 1960s military brats were going through that very rebellious stage. I think what ended up happening was that both with my brother and me, we watched this. We didn't like seeing what we saw, and so we actually remained fairly conservative through our high school years and never really rebelled against our parents. Neither my dad, my brother, nor I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that was
later?
Just a... No, not really.
You did.
We're just not rebellious kids.
Okay. With that, did you ever have an occurrence where you kind of pushed the envelope yourself with your parents?
No, not really. Not really at all. And you have to know that, well, my dad retired when I was 14, so I was pretty young throughout that time, so it was just following and admiring my parents more.
Mary, what is it with our generation? Why did we cause so many problems for our parents?
I don't know. Well, I think younger people are coming up with a very different vision of military culture and of what the, you know, the wars that we're dealing with now have very different histories from Vietnam. I was talking to my students at Muhlenberg College recently about this, and I find that they have a much more nuanced and sympathetic vision of military life and culture and the soldiers than we did. You know, things were very binarized during our time. And, of course, you know, they were my students anyway who were between, I think, third and sixth grade when 9/11 happened. They know that history very well. They saw soldiers come into their classrooms and try to assure them that things would be all right, that, you know, the military would be ready to take care of them if it were needed, you know, because our home had been attacked, our homeland had been attacked. So, you know, the war in Afghanistan, you know, that has a logic to it. One can see a certain logic to that much more clearly than the war in Vietnam, which, you know, I don't want to get into that argument about it, but, you know, you could see both sides, but it's clearly the case that it was a civil war in another part of the world. Whether or not it affected us is the debate. But that was something that, really caused a lot of trouble, a lot of turmoil, a lot of difficulty in the 60s.
Well, you mentioned in your book, and we're talking with Mary Lawler, whose book is entitled Fighter Pilot's Daughter, Growing Up in the 60s in the Cold War, is that, you know, when we were growing up at that time period, we were afraid of the Russians because they were going to bomb us, and we had to learn how to hide under our desk like that was going to do anything. And, we really were paying attention to what was going on in this Cold War as these two superpowers, were throwing little jabs at each other all the time. And it's what was so frightening is that at some point somebody could blow up the world.
Right. Exactly.
If it went that far, and we were all, it's almost like we were ready for that. And I think that's probably why we went a little crazy during the 60s.
Yeah, that's a reasonable theory, I think. It's curious that there are actually more nuclear weapons, and we have more now than we did during the Cold War.
Mm-hmm. And more people have them.
More people have them. The global situation is so different than it was then, and there was just such a stark binary between the U.S. and the USSR that the condition of being, direct enemies, absolutely each other's targets, ramped up the stakes in a kind of direct and very clearly frightening way. That was just with us all the time when I was growing up, when I was in school, all the duck and cover stuff, all the civil defense wheels all over the post, everywhere. Every building had a fallout shelter in the basement, and you had to know where to go. You had to be ready. You had to be very disciplined and all of that. So, I think it makes some sense that there was such tension during those years of the late 50s that when the 60s emerged and student culture started showing that other possibilities were in the air and things were cooking up, that we sort of looked to that with great interest, and it was a relief.
I just think, obviously, those of us that grew up in it, we always think it's kind of an interesting time in American history because there was so much trauma during that 10-year time period. With assassinations and wars and confrontations and almost this and almost that, I think you do a great job for the of explaining that in your book. And so I would encourage people to to get a hold of her book. Again, it is Fighter Pilot's Daughter, Growing Up in the 60s and Cold War. And Mary, where can we get this?
It's available on the usual online, book sale sites. I have a website if anybody wants to check. It's www.marylawler.net. Mm-hmm. And again, my last name is spelled Lawlor.
Lawlor, right.
Yeah. And that shows where you can get it to.
Okay. Well, Mary, I want to thank you so much for being on Veterans Radio. And I'm going to kind of wrap it up here with all three of you. You've got about a minute to go.
Okay.
Would you do this? Would you do it again as a military brat?
I would, sure. I mean, I guess it would be such a different situation to do it now than then, although I actually don't know if the military makes it possible for people to move less than we did. I mean, Minette's comment earlier about moving 4 or 5 times makes me think that maybe that's the case. But, if that were the case, then I would do it again, surely. But this is also a way of imagining getting to see my parents again, which is
That's unfortunate.
Well,
I gotta wrap it up here, Mary. So, I want to thank you very much, and we'll have you back on to talk more about this. Christine, thank you very much for sharing with us. Minette, great job. And interested in having all of you back on the program at some point to not only talk about being military brats, but about the idea of being women that are military brats. I think there's probably more to that story than anything. Mm-hmm. But I gotta end this because coming up next week, this is for our audience, our 10th anniversary program. Can you believe that? Holy mackerel. We've been on the air for 10 years. Christine will be joining us in the studio along with many of our other guests. If you'd like to get in on the conversation next week, contact Bob or myself at our email address or on our website, and you will be here. So until next week, you are dismissed.
All
views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.